So, Kaiser Permanente seeks membership. I promise you I'm not here to seek membership. I never know how to quite fill out the disclosure statement because I'm here to represent our Community Health Initiative, not soliciting membership, although we are a commercial entity. But what I'm going to talk about is our Community Health Initiative, which is a comprehensive approach to creating opportunities for safe physical activity and healthy eating. It's an obesity prevention initiative similar to what the other speakers are going to talk about. And these pictures represent the types of strategies that we're trying to accomplish. And the big idea is to surround people with healthy opportunities in the places that they work, live, and play through policy and environmental changes, and to create the conditions that make the healthy choice the easy choice. And even more recently, we've realized that we need to focus on the nature of those changes. So how strong are those changes? How likely are they to impact health? Oh, and we also, along with the other speakers, we were one of the first out of the gates in this initiative. We started in 2004, so what I'm going to present today are some of our evaluation findings from the first 5 years. These are the 40 sites that were mentioned across the nation. The majority of the sites are in California and Colorado, but we do have sites on the East Coast as well and up in the Northwest. And this is our logic model. Not to bore you with the details of it, but we have evaluation methods for all of those circles and boxes. And the big focus of our evaluation is to understand the community changes. And then out on the right of that logic model are things, they're population health measures. So that it's really ambitious. It's hard to create changes that are going to affect population health. It's hard to measure it. And then if you can measure it, it's hard to attribute it to the intervention. So more recently, we took a look at this logic model 5 years after we've been implementing and said, is this still right for us? Does this still work? And what we came up with is that, yes, it is the right logic model. These are the things that we should be measuring, but we need to take a closer look at what goes on between the community changes and the population health. So with our evaluation moving forward, we'll be focusing on things like behavior changes of an individual strategy or collection of strategies. So what goes on closer to the intervention is something that we're going to be emphasizing from here on out. These are the types of changes that are going on in our community. I'm sure you've been hearing about these changes throughout the conference, but there are policy and environmental changes in a community, in neighborhoods, in schools, and also we are a healthcare provider. We serve something like 8.8 million members and also 180,000 employees. So in the worksite and in the healthcare, we're also looking to walk our talk. So we're making changes inside our own system in the worksite and in healthcare, things like changing what's offered in our cafeterias and what's offered to patients in our hospital and worksite wellness policies. So it's what sort of sets us apart from the other initiatives of our kind is that we can also affect those kinds of changes so that we're asking communities to do similar things that we're asking of ourselves, and we're realizing it's not so easy. Okay, so I'm going to take a closer look at our Northern California region. There are three sites in Northern California that just finished the five-year initiative, and this represents their strategies. They had a total of 62 strategies, and what you can see here is 49 out of those 62 strategies were successfully implemented by those community collaboratives. And the box that says 38, that represents that 75%, three-fourths of those strategies are looking like they're going to stick. They're things like sidewalks, parks, walking trails, programs that are now institutionalized in the work site or in the school, things that are looking like they're going to sustain themselves beyond the funding period. And then the green box in the middle tells us that we did what we said we were going to do. We have over half of our initiatives that are both implemented successfully, potentially sustainable, and had an emphasis on policy and environmental changes, which is what we set out to accomplish. So here is where I'm going to present probably the biggest learning of our initiative. How many people have heard the idea of DOSE as it relates to obesity prevention initiatives? Okay, oh wow, I'm shocked by the hands. So this is a concept that we came up with about 2 years ago when we took a look, this was before we had evaluation data, outcome data, and we took a look at our strategies and keeping in mind that we have an ambitious intervention that's aimed at changing population health, which is a tall order, and we said, oh my gosh, we might not get there with the strength of these interventions, so we need to pay attention to this concept called DOSE, and operationalizing it was really challenging. I'll talk about that in a second, but what it is in a nutshell is really making sure that your strategies target enough people with strong enough interventions to create behavior change in the people that those strategies are touching. So it's something that was an inkling for us at first 2 years ago, and over the past couple months, we've actually been able to build some evidence that dose actually really matters, and I'll present that in a few minutes. And because this is an academic concept, I'm going to present how we attempted to operationalize it. And it was through things like conversations with ourselves first, and then with our community partners about what it takes to bring this to scale. So I'm going to give a couple of examples. Okay, so here is, say, in a school. A lot of our grantees want to change vending machines. So they start out with making some healthy offerings in their vending machines. And so the conversation becomes, well, how about a vending machine ban? Let's just get rid of the vending machines. And once we've done that, how about we change the food environment of that entire school? So the competitive food, the cafeteria, the sporting events, the cafeteria rewards, all the things that touch a kid in school. And then once we've done that, let's go outside the school to where kids are going before and after school and sometimes during. So the corner stores and in some cases, the mobile vendors that are surrounding those schools. So really making healthy choices be the only option in that school would be taking the idea of vending machines to scale. Again, very difficult resources for each of those boxes, but these are the types of conversations we're having because we believe that if you don't have dose, you're not likely to have impact at the population level, which is what we're trying to achieve. So another example in the physical activity, we have a lot of communities wanting to implement safe routes to school interventions, similar to a lot of communities across the nation, but they start out pretty small scale, maybe a walk to school day, maybe 30 kids. So we have conversations around increasing the number of kids, increasing the number of days, making it district-wide. How about walking to school all year? Once you've done that, how about increasing the streets, your ability to walk to school? So things like crosswalks, sidewalks, making it so that kids can walk and or bike to school safely. And then once we've done that, taking on what goes on inside the school. And people always ask me, why not do the PE first and then the things surrounding outside the school? And we found it actually easier to do believe it or not, the safe routes to school efforts than what goes on inside our schools, specifically in California. It was extremely difficult for us, which I think matched the findings of HEAC and CCROP as well. Okay, so this is taking those 49 strategies that I showed you in the circles a second ago, and this is really taking a look at what dose means. We had our evaluation team together with our communities rating each strategy on its reach and on its strength. So on the left-hand side, you see the strength continuum, and on the bottom is the reach. And you can see the arrows, so basically we're trying to move into the green area, which is the higher dose interventions. And there are reasons for interventions in all of these boxes, and so we wanted to recognize that. It wouldn't be a realistic expectation for all of them to be in the green box because there are reasons for the other boxes. For example, in the top left box where there's a 1, this is low reach, high strength, and these are things like programmatic. They often support policy and environmental changes, programmatic strategies, and there are reasons to do those. On the bottom right hand, where there's an 11, those are things like media campaigns that have less strength but can reach a lot of people, and if they're supporting the overall strategy, then there are reasons to be in those buckets as well. And even in the bottom left, which is low and low, those may be pilot testing, innovation, leadership development, more ancillary projects, but we want to make sure that they're not distracting from the things that we think are bigger impact and more likely to move population health. So this was our first 5 years, and we expect in our next 5 years for there to be many more strategies in the green area because we're surrounding our communities with ways to facilitate bringing their strategies to scale. So this is things like creating expectations from up front. Our proposals now have dose language in them. We have evaluation and technical support all from the very beginning, which is really trying to get from the planning phase higher dose strategies. And if we can't do it in the planning phase, then making sure that we have that, say, walking school bus that then leads to these higher dose strategies along the course of our initiative. So this is really a conversation starter, but then it has to be ongoing support to really bring it to fruition. Green is where we want to go. And some examples of what goes on what's in the green boxes, the majority of our promising strategies, and by promising I mean high-dose strategies, were in the school environment. They were in both physical activity and nutrition, and this is consistent with the literature, which says these have been so far demonstrated to be the higher impact, the things that are more likely to move population health. And this was true for us as well, and I'll show you some data as well. It's not to say that you can't do that in the work site or in the neighborhood or in a healthcare setting or whatever, faith-based, whatever, but the school is a captive audience. The kids, you can touch them many times throughout the day, and so through a strategy or a set of combined strategies, you can have more of an impact, and I'll show you some data that demonstrates that. So this is one of our methods. This was PhotoVoice, and this is going to give an example that supports the high-dose strategy. And we did PhotoVoice at 2 points in time. So the picture on the top that shows the kids sleeping instead of being physically active at recess was taken at the beginning, which was done. We had something like 300 participants in our PhotoVoice project across the nation, and this was demonstrating the barrier to physical activity in this community. This is Modesto, California. And the picture on the bottom was taken at the end of the initiative. So we asked folks to take their cameras again, but this time take pictures of things, of what they're most proud of, what's been the greatest impact in their community. And this picture on the bottom represents a high-dose strategy. What this is Modesto, California again, and this is an after-school program. They had targeted what goes on inside the school, they targeted safe routes to school, and now they took on the after-school program. And what they did was created a district-wide policy that gave that mandated that kids would get 20 minutes every day of physical activity. So this is 3,000 kids in a community that has 8,000 kids. So a significant amount of those kids are now getting 20 minutes of physical activity every day that they did not have before. And this is one of, by the community's perspective and also by ours, one of the more successful strategies. And this is Richmond, California, and this basically demonstrates the importance of youth involved from the beginning and throughout the intervention. I think this is consistent also with what Lisa and Liz and perhaps Emily will say as well, that it's important to make sure that you're engaging youth in order to be successful. And this is probably our most important slide. It's hot off the press. We just received these findings about a month ago, and this is looking at the population health data, the one that I said was really hard to create, really hard to measure, and this demonstrates, let me take a step back. So in a nutshell, when we looked at population health across all of our communities, all of our methods that were intended to look at population health, we did not see any consistent patterns, not in BMI, not in Kaiser member data, health outcomes for kids or for adults. We did not see consistent patterns, but when we looked at the communities that were high dose and within those communities the interventions that were high dose and analyzed it by that, what we saw was this. On the left-hand side, this matches that hula hoop picture, so this is asking kids in that Modesto community, this is fifth grade, Are they receiving more physical activity? It's self-reported youth data, but you can see that compared to the comparison group, these youth reported more physical activity. And on the right-hand side, this is Santa Rosa community, and this is using California's FitnessGram data, and you see here again increases compared to the comparison group of aerobic capacity. And both of these communities had a combination of after-school programs, in-school PE, and safe routes to school. So there was a lot of physical activity going on, and in both cases we were able to see population health, but only where we had strong interventions that reached a lot of kids in that target population. So this confirmed our hypothesis that if you have dose, you can have impact, and it reinvigorated our approach to build it in all of our communities and to measure it through our evaluation strategies. So this was kind of a big finding for us, and we're still grappling with what it means and trying to get it out there into the field as a major finding of these types of comprehensive community initiatives. So what are the implications of all this? This is probably obvious now because I've said it enough. If we don't have dose, we're not likely to have impact, at least if we're talking about at the population level, which is a very tall order. We need to make sure that we have both reach and strength and that we pay attention to both of those for individual strategies and also for the collective strategies in a given community. We need to make sure that our policies are actually implemented, not just on the books, and that the implementation is strong and reaching a lot of people. And we need to build this dose concept in from the beginning. So as I mentioned earlier, it's in our expectations from the funders, it's in our proposals, it's in revisions to the proposals, it's in technical assistance, it's in evaluation support. Everybody's speaking the same message, and everybody's trying to build interventions to scale so that we can have the most impact in any given community, which is all that all the stakeholders want. And then last, we want to make sure that we have alignment within strategies so that the strategies are supporting each other and not distracting, because some strategies can take a lot of effort on the part of a community, but they're not likely to have as much impact as other strategies. And so we need to keep that in mind, that that we need to really focus on what makes the most sense. What does the evidence tell us? Where's the community energy, community ownership? Where do we have partners that can take this to fruition? And then also making sure that we have evaluation that connects closely to those interventions so that we make sure that we're measuring the right things so that we can all tell the story of the impact in our community and also in our collective communities. Thank you.